हरि सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा वीर्यविषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 38, verses 63 to 71. The Lord instructs Durvasa Muni to take shelter of Maharaj Ambarisha. In Paramatma Sandarbha Anucheda 93, Srila Jiva Goswami explains that in the following two verses, 63 and 64, the Lord affirms that Hladini Shakti is the best of his potencies. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said to the Brahmana, I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent. Because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires, I sit only within the cores of their heart. What to speak of my devotee? Even those who are devotees of my devotee are very dear to me. Srila Prabhupada comments, all the great stalwart personalities in the universe, including Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, are fully under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead is fully under the control of his devotee. Why is this? Because the devotee is anyabhilashita shunya. In other words, he has no material desires in his heart. His only desire is to think always of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and how to serve him best. Because of this transcendental qualification, the Supreme Lord is extremely favorable to the devotees. Indeed, not only the devotees, but also the devotees of the devotees. Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, Chariya Vaishnava Seva Nishtara Pareche Keva. Without being a devotee, one cannot be released from material entanglement. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu identified himself as Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Dasa Dasa Anu Dasaha. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 1380. Thus he instructed us to become not directly servants of Krishna, but servants of the servant of Krishna. So Krishna is saying he sits in their heart, means as Paramatma he sits in everybody's heart, but only as Bhagavan he sits in the devotee's heart. Right? Because he's there, his associates, everything, because the devotee's there. He's thinking of him, then the whole aspect of his pastimes and everything. Like you see when Krishna and Arjuna go visit Mahavishnu. Then he's there, his palace, his servants, everything is there. But we generally think as super soul of the, as Mahatattva, it's just him lying on the causal ocean. There's not even Sesha or anybody. Right? So that's Paramatma. But as Bhagavan, then he has his palace, his associates, everything. Just like Kiradakshai Vishnu is Bhagavan, he's there in Sweta Dweep with all his associates. And as Paramatma, he's extended in everyone's heart. And then, you know, just himself. Does that make sense? So when the devotee, then he sees him as Bhagavan. So in this position, because the devotee is completely surrendered to him, then his only interest or focus is on the devotee. Right? Yes.
Can we say that as Paramatma, the Lord is impartial, equal to everybody, but as Bhagavan, he is biased towards his devotees?
No, you'd say he's equal in all conditions. The whole point is the others only deal with him as Paramatma, therefore he only reciprocates as Paramatma. Because the devotee, then they have no other material desire, so their only interest is in Krishna as Bhagavan, therefore he reciprocates with them as Bhagavan. So there's no partiality as such. You know, it means technically. Like that. In mood, then it appears that because his preference is dealing with the devotees. But that's because they deal with him. It's not that they're not dealing with him And so, therefore, then he deals with them anyway. Point is all living entities are devotees of the Lord. It's just that some know it and a lot of them don't. So like that, for him, everybody's connected with him. So it's not, there's no question of us and them. It's just those who have understood and those who still haven't understood. Like that. That's how he sees it. Is that?
So, Maharaj, you mean that Paramatma, Mahavishnu, also manifests in two aspects. One is Paramatma aspect, one is Bhagavan aspect.
Means he's always Bhagavan, but he's manifested, his expansion is Paramatma, so he takes care of the maintenance of the material creation as Paramatma. But it's still him as Bhagavan. Means Krishna's doing everything. He just expands and does everything then connected with the living entities. Does that make sense? It's just that feature is there. Because if Paramatma, you don't interact with him, then it doesn't matter. Because he's just the witness. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of the feature of how you deal. Just like, okay, let us say you're at home. Okay, you deal one way with your family. But now when you go to your work, you won't deal in that way with the people there. How do you deal with the people at where you work? According to the workplace itself, and according to specifically who they are in the workplace. Does that make sense? That's Paramatma. You know what I'm saying? So it's not about, it's about doing the work. It's not about you and your personality and all that. In some sense. Works?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Chaitanya Guru, no, is Paramatma.
Yeah, is Paramatma. But then when we say that, in the case of devotees, pure devotees, then it's not Paramatma in the heart, it's Bhagavan. So
yes.
In that case, that same Bhagavan is also acting as Chaitanya Guru at the same time.
Chaitanya Guru, just Krishna's Guru. So any form of him, his is him is guru. So it's not just Paramatma's guru, it means any form of him is guru. Does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on the same verse. The Lord says, just as Brahma and Shiva cannot save you because they are dependent on me, so I also am dependent and cannot save you. Durvasa says, you become dependent on your devotees by your nature, but this is not desired by the devotees. You are thus independent. The Lord says, that is true. I am independent, but by my will I become dependent on my devotees, because I cannot give up my various sentiments towards them. Durvasa says, but seeing my suffering, you do not become compassionate. The Lord says, that is true. I do not have such a quality in my mind. My heart is controlled by the best devotees without desire even for liberation, seeing that liberation which I want to give them is not attractive to them. I forcefully give my own heart. Accepting that, they take that one with their... They make that one with their own hearts. Oh, they make that one with their own hearts and fix it there with devotion. Therefore, my mercy exists in their mercy. The Lord's mercy follows the mercy of the devotees. This is well known to all people and is known to you. Persons protected by the devotees are dear to me. What to speak of the devotees themselves? Oh, ignorant Brahmana, do you not consider this? Right? Because he's only considering his plight and how he's the supreme, he should take care of everything. But the point is he says, I've given myself to the devotee. So therefore, then being connected with the devotee, who they give mercy to is who he gives mercy to. So in this case, then he's given his heart to Ambarish Maharaj. So unless Ambarish Maharaj gives his mercy, then there's no mercy. Yes.
That's very clear, again, between the devotees and non-devotees, or whatever else the category. But when it happens between devotees, means Lord is on both sides.
Yeah, so whoever's more sincere. It's like Prabhupada said, the story of the, you have the, you know, beginning of the day, then the thief goes before the deity and prays that he'll be successful, and the policeman comes and prays that he'll be successful in catching the thief. So then Prabhupada says, and who's successful is whoever's more sincere. So in any case, we just go on and try to sincerely serve Krishna.
Because usually the misunderstanding is the way how we interpret things.
Yes, generally interpretation is the big problem.
That's how we get camps inside this.
Yes, no, there being camps in connection with Krishna, that's going to come. The cowherd boys, they'll relate together. The gopis are in a different camp. The parents are in a different camp. You know, like that. So that's all right, a connection to Krishna and rasa. But when it's based on the material consideration, then that's not very good.
So then both camps claim that Krishna's on their side.
Means in the material world, everybody says. I mean, what was it? Muhammad Ali always used to say, God is in my corner, right? You know, so that means he's not in the other corner. He's so small, he can't take up the other corner also. Yeah, so there's going to be that, so that they connect, and that's good. And they both, depending upon the sincerity, where they're, what is actually connected to the Lord, what's not connected to the Lord, then they'll get their reactions in that way. Someone doesn't have to worry. He's on both sides. But at the same time, is why would we be acting in that way unless we're technically not on God's side?
We are on God's side, and we think that he's on our side.
No, it means we think we're on God's side, so therefore we think he's on our side. See, we're not the devotee. We're the devotee of the devotee. And then how devoted we are to the devotee, then that's how much we're connected and how much Krishna reciprocates. So where we may be stronger in devotional service, he'll take care of that. So what is lost? Now, just let's say we go to the temple and, you know, Mangalartik are chanting, Guru Puja and all that. Now, let us say there's a day when everything's going smoothly, you know, and another day, let's say, when there's this quote-unquote other camp there, and you can see that they're talking and they're pointing at you and talking some more. In one sense, is there any effect on your being there at Guru Puja or in the temple or seeing the deity?
Externally, no.
But the whole point is that because of what? Our lack of Krishna consciousness, or because we're so absorbed that they just put a block there and we can't, you understand? So the devotional service won't be affected. But it's not that we won't be affected, because we are already affected. Because we identify with it, so therefore with the modes of nature we become affected. So there, that will be something. But your devotional service, that's always protected. So if we have an interest in something on the material platform, then the actions and reactions of that platform then will recede. Because that's what we want. Because if we're just connected to Krishna and not interested in anything material, then we don't really care about what others are saying. Does that make sense? So that way he can be on both sides. Right there. Because there's so many things. We'll understand one thing and then see some nice connection with Krishna. But then there's so many other aspects also. We're taking it can only be this and it can't be anything else.
Regarding the mercy to devotees, if I favor someone, then I get the mercy. If I don't favor someone, then I don't get the mercy. You know, basically the mercy factor must be such that whether one favors or not, it should automatically come. Then it is the Lord's mercy. Right? Otherwise, it is simply mundane then, because I have some motives behind it, because of which then.
But the point is, if you have motives, then how much mercy are you actually giving? On what platform? So his mercy means that spiritual platform. So if we're not situated spiritually, then how much mercy are we actually manifesting?
And then the group's up in form. And then that is how
But the point is the Lord's mercy means that he appear. What was it? Anya bilashita shunya. That's the devotee. See, we always have to remember we're practicing devotees. We're not devotees. Right? Means from our own point of view, we have to look at it. I'm not a devotee. I'm practicing to be a devotee. So therefore, then who is a devotee of the devotee, that's what becomes. So when we're connected to the devotee, we're connected to Prabhupada, we're connected to other devotees, that's our connection to Krishna. But if we're taking it, no, I'm such a great devotee, therefore everything centers around me, then that we might find ourselves a little less surrounded than we think. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's about we surrender to Krishna, then he reciprocates. You know what I'm saying? It's just like we're talking here. Let's say you go into a shop, you give 100 rupees, you can get 100 rupees worth of goods. But if you only give 10 rupees, you can't get 100 rupees worth of goods. So we're sitting around talking like, you know, I'm 100 rupees. But the problem is if we're only 10 rupees. You know, okay, now in that 100 rupees, there's 10 rupees. So this group is focusing on this particular 10 rupees. And another one's focusing on another 10 rupees. And they're fighting over which 10 rupees is more important. My 10 rupees is better than your 10 rupees. But the problem is that Krishna is the whole 100. So that area is there. He is. How can they support him? They don't support what I'm saying, but they're supporting something else that is supported by Krishna. You know what I'm saying? Like that. You know, so as, you know, yes, chanting, you know, we have to be serious about our chanting, you know, be there, really focus and everything like that. But then let's say on something else, they're fighting over land and this and that. So they're getting the mercy and the chanting, but when it comes to the land, they're completely materialistic. Well, someone else, no, this is the Dom and that, you can't say you own this and all this and that, but then they don't take their chanting seriously. And each one thinks, no, Krishna's with me and not with the other person, but he's with both. But in their area where they're surrendered to it. Right? You can't go with 10 rupees and expect you to get 100 rupees. That's why we're sadhakas. Right. Does that make sense? So we start off with 1 paisa and then slowly build it up. You know, we're trying to get to 100 rupees. Does that make sense? So this whole idea that there's parties and Krishna this and they'll go to hell and this and that, it's like, how can we make that decision since Krishna is the one that gives awards the results of endeavor?
We can ask.
We can ask, that's another thing. But the point is we're not in control of that. And so if it's out of devotion, then yes. But if it's just out of our own desire, then Krishna may fulfill, may not fulfill. But he'll fulfill it in such a way that we won't ask again. Does that make sense?
But is it not safe, you know, to be a devotee?
Is it?
I'm saying, in this particular case, you know, it is risky because when there are 5 somethings like that, but if you are a devotee of Uttama Adhikari, then that is a safe way.
Yeah, Uttama Adhikari is safe. Prema is safe. Mm-hmm. You know, being an Uttama Adhikari, that's also pretty safe. Madhyama is, you know, steady safe. Neophyte can be safe or not, depending upon one's mood. Mm-hmm. But it's recommended to come to the Madhyama platform. That's the, because then what's the difference between the neophyte and the Madhyama? One is, of course, understanding of Shastra, so we'll make less distinction. But the part where it's weak, you could say in the neophyte, is their non-appreciation of devotees. Madhyamas appreciate devotees. Neophytes may appreciate certain ones they like, and ones they don't like that they don't appreciate. You know, like that. Does that make sense? So that's the point, because the devotees are what's dear to Krishna. So when the devotees are dear to us, that's a symptom of our advancement. Right? That's why it says, Madhyama respects the Lord, then is respects those who are senior to him, as deals as friends with those who are equals, and is compassionate to those who are junior. So we're saying, oh, they're in a junior position, they're not very advanced, we should be compassionate rather than trying to do them harm, right? So if that's the mood, the point is, if you're saying this other group is junior, then we should be compassionate. And so if we're not compassionate, then we're not on the Madhyama platform. Mm-hmm. It's quite simple. Mm-hmm. Srila Jiva Goswami comments on verse 63 as follows. Here the Supreme Personality of Godhead says, as the individual spirit souls are dependent on others, so I am dependent on my devotees. Then the Lord tells the reason he is dependent. My heart is conquered by the devotion of saintly devotees who are free from any kind of deception, culminating in the deception called impersonal liberation. Then he tells the reason he is conquered. I am delighted to receive their love. Right? So that's the whole point, is that the affection they have, that's what attracts the Lord. That's why then they show affection, he reciprocates with the affection. So anyone who's a devotee, then they're showing affection to the Lord. But the thing is how constant is it? Right? We go to the temple, we see the deity, and then there's moments where we have that affection. So many different aspects are like that. Then it gets time where it's just about class is over, and then they're going to close the curtains, and then we're thinking, oh no, they're going to, it's time for prasad, and so I don't want to get stuck serving prasad because I have so many important things, places to go, and of course nobody else on the planet has so many important things to do. So then, do I step out, go to the bathroom? What do I do to make it look like I'm really, really busy so that someone else gets picked? And then I just walk in just at the right moment to sit down as far as to the front as possible. You understand? So during all this, then where are the moments of that affection for the Lord? You understand? But it's connected to Krishna because we're with devotees, we're taking prasad like this. So it's still part of the devotional process, but it's within that practice. It doesn't have that affection. So what's talking about here is those who always have that affection, they're the ones that are the prominent ones, because he's always connected to them because they're always connected to him. But when we're connected to him, then he reciprocates. And then when we're not, then he's waiting. Does that make sense? Yeah? The Supreme Lord continued, O best of the Brahmanas, without saintly persons for whom I am the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss and my supreme opulences. Srila Prabhupada comments, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is self-sufficient, but to enjoy his transcendental bliss, he requires the cooperation of his devotees. In Vrindavan, for example, although Lord Krishna is full in himself, he wants the cooperation of his devotees, like the cowherd boys and the gopis, to increase his transcendental bliss. Such pure devotees who can increase the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are certainly most dear to him. Not only does the Supreme Personality of Godhead enjoy the company of his devotees, but because he is unlimited, he wants to increase his devotees unlimitedly. Thus, he descends to the material world to induce the non-devotees and rebellious living entities to return home back to Godhead. He requests them to surrender unto him because, unlimited as he is, he wants to increase his devotees unlimitedly. Krishna conscious movement is an attempt to increase the number of pure devotees of the Supreme Lord more and more. It is certain that a devotee who helps in this endeavor to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes indirectly a controller of the Supreme Lord. Although the Supreme Lord is full in six opulences, he does not feel transcendental bliss without his devotees. An example that may be cited in this regard is that even if a very rich man does not have sons in a family, he does not feel happiness. Indeed, sometimes the rich man adopts a son to complete his happiness. The science of transcendental bliss is known to the pure devotee. Therefore, the pure devotee is always engaged in increasing the transcendental happiness of the Lord. Right? So the Lord has this, his potencies, all the opulences. But the point is that those exist in him just naturally. Right? So it's just a matter of existence. So it's only when there's the devotees, there's interaction, then you have the aspect of the manifestation of the Vladini potency. Right? That's where then his pleasure comes. So on his own, then of course he is happiness, he is bliss. But how much can that be appreciated unless there's interaction that gives results? Does this make sense? That's why then he says that he's not inclined to enjoy his transcendental opulences and bliss without the devotees. Because that, through that interaction, that's where then you can create environments in which this is tasted, yes.
This is an example where Vibhasa, he's only able to see the Lord, therefore he's not able to appreciate others.
Because he's a yogi. So yogi understand Paramatma. He's the supreme. He's the controller. He's the observer. He's the judge. Right? He's the maintainer. These kind of aspects they can see. So that's why he approaches him with that mood. But the point is he doesn't understand the Bhagavan aspect. So because of that, that's why then he says, you do not see this, right? Oh, ignorant Brahmin, you do not consider this.
So why did the Lord award such a personality with such power that he has the possibility to misuse that? Because here he's misusing his potency by, going to curse somebody. So why would the Lord provide that facility for
him? Why is it in every movie then the zombies always get conquered? And so what prevails?
Good. So establishes
good, but I'm saying what kind of good in connection to what you're talking about? Right? Because you're talking about why we should have independence, we should be completely controlled so that we always do the right thing. You understand? It's always, the one who's independent always wins. You understand? So the whole point is then if it's all controlled and all that, then also what about what facility we have? So therefore everybody should move to San Francisco and everybody should live in the tiki-taki that's all exactly the same. And everybody should have the same car. They should only produce one kind of car, one kind of clothes, one kind of this, one kind of TV dinner, like that. And everything, then is perfect. Because then, but that we want all the variety. But when it comes to what we can do wrong is, no, I should be programmed so I don't do wrong. Not that I don't want the good effect, what I perceive in doing wrong. I don't want any bad reaction for doing wrong. But the problem is if you're going to get rid of the bad reaction, you have to get rid of the action itself. And that also means you have to get rid of the desire for what we perceive as good within that bad action. So we're only looking at half of it. It's always the back half of the duck gives the golden egg, that's good, but the front half quacks too much and eats too much. Why can't God, he's God, why can't he just make a duck that just lays eggs and doesn't quack and doesn't eat? But then the point is then we would be like that.
So you always understand that there's always check and balance.
There's always the two sides. So what benefit we want that, but we just don't want the bad side of it. So that's called impossible. Means every action has a reaction. Because otherwise, if we just exist if we're just existing only, how boring is it? Sitting there, no clothes on, sitting on some piece of rock. How cold is the rock and you have no clothes on? Right? And then you're sitting there, you can't even sit up straight. You just lean forward on your elbow, on your knee, and just sit there and you think. That's all you do. And so all you're doing is existing. Right? He's known for existence. He's not known for being happy or having a good time, or no one wants to emulate him. Right? He doesn't evoke any feelings, emotion, nothing. All we know is he has a cold bum. Does that make sense? That part of the equation doesn't come out. My bum is cold, therefore I am.
Right? I'm not seeing that
thesis yet. No. Yes. You understand? So that's the problem, is why can't God control? Why is it we have to be? So in other words, it's his fault. He made us this way, and so, no, he gave us independence. Misusing it, then that's there. You know, it's just like, why don't they make knives that won't cut, you know, and won't do any damage, but will only do good? You know, cars that will only drive where they should. You know, I mean, just like this, we try to make it like this, but then the whole point is then what do you have to do to get that? Right? Does that make sense? It's just like this. How many times you're driving along on the road, and you make choices, and then the person in the GPS tells you that you missed your turn, and now they're recalculating, right? Isn't it okay? Now, if you have the car does everything, you don't have that choice. You just sit there, right? You can't make any choices like that. It'll just go where it wants to go. So will that be good? We're all saying, oh, the car will drive itself, but that means yes, it'll drive itself right into that 2-hour jam. Yeah, and here we're not talking jam, does it have pieces in it of fruit or not? We're talking about LA. You know. Does that make sense? Yeah. Or M25.
The question of desire.
Yes.
Because actually our only freedom is the desire.
Yes.
Such.
Mm-hmm.
And to have right desires, we have to have right consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
To have right consciousness, we have to be influenced by certain modes. But we carry...
No, because the modes are below consciousness.
But we are influenced.
Because we allow ourselves to be.
Because it's from the previous also.
But that's still, we've made the decision to be there.
That's right. My question is how to get out from this. It's a slow process as such, if we don't get the mercy.
Yes, but you have to have that desire. You have to have the desire to get out of it, even though you're not out of it.
And the desire is also influenced by it.
No, we're independent. That's where we're independent. You can want to know why, what's going on, and everything like that. And then at that point, then you're put in contact with those who can explain it.
But then you still have to desire, even they explain and you practice.
Yeah, but then you have to think, okay, this is nice. Then you take another step. So the Lord will reciprocate. You take that, you have that mood that you want to do, then he reciprocates that. So that is your independence.
And can we say that the gradations of devotees are actually judged by their desires?
Basically. What is that? Because mixed means it's devotional service and something else, and pure means it's devotional service and nothing else. Yes, according to the desires, you know, it's what karma, what gyan, you know. Let me say, basically, it'll be they're interested in getting out of material nature, or they're interested in some kind of material facility or a combination, you know, like that. Yeah. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments. Durvasa. No? Yes? Okay. Durvasa says, how much are the devotees your object of affection? The Lord replies, listen, I am called Atmarama because I enjoy, but I do not desire that enjoyment without the devotees. More than my own bliss from my Sarup, I desire the bliss from the Sarupas of my devotees. Though both of us have spiritual forms, the mature form of the spiritual function called mercy exists in the bhakti within the devotee. since it is the essence of the Chit Shakti, since it gives me bliss, even to, since it gives bliss even to my Surup, and since it attracts my Surup. I eternally possess my six great qualities, but without the devotees, I consider these to be barren. I am the one object of those devotees. Right, so the form of the devotees and the form of the Lord, the form of the devotees, because that form is based on their devotion to the Lord. Therefore, that attracts him. Right? So his form is attracted by the devotees' form. So that's the thing. So therefore, the mercy exists within bhakti, because bhakti is actually that kindness of that interaction, interacting on the personal platform, connected with the affection of the Lord. Because that's actually the benefit of all living entities. So that's actually mercy. Does that make sense? Like that. Other things technically aren't mercy. Srila Jiva Goswami comments on verse 64 in Priti Sandarbha Anucheda 60. The bliss experienced by the Lord is of two types: bliss from his Surup and bliss from his Surup Shakti. The Surup Shakti's bliss is of two types: bliss from his mentality and bliss from his powers. Bliss in mind refers to extensive bliss from bhakti in his devotees. Yeah.
What's the bliss from his Surup?
Means just his form and all that, and then I say. In his Surup means himself. He's Atmarama. So just in himself, his existence, he's already happy. But then the bliss he finds in his Surup Shakti, that will be greater, because then there's interaction. Because otherwise, in his own Surup, the Surup Shakti is already included. But when the Surup Shakti expands, and then there's interaction, that bliss then is more. And then bliss from his mentality and bliss from his power. So his mentality is his mood and everything, and then his powers is what he does. Right? So there's his mood, and then his activities, his pastimes. So both of those are there. He does an activity, you know, like he lifts Govardhan on hill, but there's a mood in that also. So the mood of it gives a taste, and the activity itself gives a taste. The bliss from his Surup and the bliss from his powers arising from Surup Shakti are described in the following. O Brahmana, without the devotees who take shelter of only me, I do not desire to enjoy my own bliss from my Surup or my six great opulences from his Surup Shakti. So he has no interest unless it's done in the with the devotees. Because that means he has all these things, but it's only when they're dynamic in devotion that they're attractive. That's why it says he's not attracted by Lakshmi. Right? But when there's interaction between him and Lakshmi, that's what's attractive. But just her existence, it's just like we would be happy just there's money in the bank, we do nothing with it. Like that. But Krishna is not interested in that. He's interested in interaction. Because for us, that's separate from us. Right? The bank balance is separate. For Krishna, his opulence is non-different from him. Right? Because if you have Shaktiman, Shaktiman means there's Shakti. Right? So that existence of him and existence of a Shakti, that's not what's of interest to him. What's interest to him is the interaction. So that means that's why it says the devotee. So when the Surup Shakti as a devotee is interacting, that's then the whole point.
The Lord is interested in the interaction. And it says that he requires the cooperation of his devotees. You know, we find that when you use this particular word cooperation in the corporate world, it means that when 10 people want to cooperate with me, it means they should do what I want. You know, basically, that is what it means. So you're in this case, it simply means that the Lord wants the devotees must cooperate with him, means follow the rules mentioned in the Shastra so that he pleases him.
But where did the rules of the Shastra come from?
From him.
Yes, so in other words, the devotees are doing what pleases him, so that way he can do what pleases them. Mm-hmm. See, in other words, doing something to please someone else, that is what makes people happy. Mm-hmm. Right? The modern culture is based on at least the ideology that you're working for others' benefit. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. But the whole point is where is it centered? Right? On the individual soul. Mm-hmm. So that's always going to be a problem. Because even though I'm working for others' benefit, it's ultimately for me. And because everybody's working ultimately for themselves, even though we're all seemingly working for the same ideology, it will never work out because our purpose of doing that is different. Right? So, but when it's all centered on Krishna, then, as Prabhupada says, you put one pebble in the lake, then you have these concentric circles that can cover the whole lake. So that means unlimited living entities can be connected with Krishna. He's unlimited, so unlimited living entities can connect. That then, because then every living entity is individual, but they're all working connected to Krishna, therefore then there's not going to be any problem. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Where does artha come from?
Dharma.
Yes, dharma. And dharma defines the nature of something and how it should do and what you should do. Mm-hmm. Right? So therefore, if everybody's working together according to their dharma, right, then that at least makes that cooperation there. So materially you can be successful, right? But we're saying is that you take it back to the Lord. It's that we're doing that cooperation to please the Lord. That will actually please all living entities. Right? Okay, so that's dharma, and then you have artha. And then in artha shastra, in one chapter, it defines corporations. You understand? So that means corporations are supposed to be managed according to the rules of artha, but under the shelter of dharma. You understand? Yeah. Srila Jiva Goswami points out that in the following three verses, 65 to 67, the Lord declares that he is very grateful to his devotees. The Supreme Lord continued, since pure devotees give up their homes, wives, children, relatives, riches, and even their lives simply to serve me, without any desire for material improvement in this life or in the next, how can I give up such devotees at any time? Srila Prabhupada comments, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped by the words Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha. Thus he is the well-wisher of the Brahmanas. Durvasa Muni was certainly a very great Brahmana, but because he was a non-devotee, he could not sacrifice everything in devotional service. Great mystic yogis are actually self-interested. The proof is that when Durvasa Muni created a demon to kill Maharaj Ambarisha, the king stayed fixed in his place, praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and depending solely and wholly on him. Whereas when Durvasa Muni was chased by the Sudarshan Chakra, by the supreme will of the Lord, he was so perturbed that he fled all over the world and tried to take shelter in every nook and corner of the universe. At last, in fear of his life, he approached Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was so interested in his own body that he wanted to kill the body of a Vaishnava. Therefore, he did not have very good intelligence. And how can an unintelligent person be delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The Lord certainly tries to give all protection to his devotees who have given up everything for the sake of serving him. So that's what we're meaning. So much good qualities, but it's actually all not real because his so-called intelligence and austerity and everything, then he simply becomes angry and then it's all lost. And then Ambarish Maharaj, when there's danger, he surrenders to the Supreme Lord. When Durvasa Muni has danger, he depends on his own yogic strength to protect him. And when he finds that it doesn't work anywhere he goes, then he goes to the Supreme Lord. Okay? So even though he's a great devotee, being a non-devotee, then it doesn't have that same position. Means amongst Brahmanas, then yes, he'll be very great Brahmana. And in that way, he'll be, you know, well situated. But when it comes between him and Vaishnavas, then the Vaishnava is higher. And as long as he just does his Brahman stuff and the Vaishnavas do their Vaishnava stuff, then it works. But when he tries to control the Vaishnavas, especially try to, you know, in an inimical way, then that's where his lesser position becomes manifest. Yes.
Test the strength of his character and his realization by the way he immediately goes to shelter when he's put in the
business. Yes. Yes. That's the point. Yes, that's the point.
What's the point?
He's saying is that it means you're testing the actual position of Durvasa Muni by when he's in trouble, what does he do? Right? So Ambarish in trouble surrenders to the Lord and depends on the Lord while he depends on his own material ability. So then we see is there less. Yes.
The same happened in the pastime of Indra and Ritrasura when
Indra
was depending on his own clock.
Yes, he was depending on his own, yes. Yeah. Yes.
How do you depend without the subtle idea that there will be a certain outcome from that dependency? Because that can also happen as well. I'm depending but I still want to know.
Yes, but that just still means that there's that contamination of karma and jnana, is that we're doing an action expecting a particular result. See, is that you perform an action, you get a result. Okay? Now, what's the result for? Why have a result? I go to work all week, and at the end of the week, the result is I get a certain amount of cash. So, what's the purpose of that cash? Okay, and then why spending it on others is, why would we do that? Okay, and why do we want that comfort and that relationship? But then why would we want to do that? Okay, so then, pleasing Krishna, but that particular group that we're in means if you were just wanting to please Krishna, would grihastha life be your first option?
No.
Means if you could just be absorbed in Krishna exclusively and you had the option that you could stay brahmachari or get married, right, you would do that. Means if there's a need and there's a duty, like Priyavrata, means he chose being a brahmachari. That then when there was a need to be a grihastha and manage the universe, then he took that and he followed the same thing. So you can be fully Krishna conscious in either position, but the one has so much more that you're dealing with and one's less, right? You know, just like, let's say, you're at home, you're alone, it's, you know, a day off, you just are, you know, just wanting to be relaxing, and now you have the option that you could, and you're hungry, you could make something that'll take you 5 minutes, or something that'll take you 3 hours. Which will you do? At the end, you'll be happy with either. You understand? But now, if it's a social function, people are coming over for dinner, it's a whole thing, you'll take the 3-hour one. You won't then, you know, get out to, you know, give everybody, you know, toast and jam with some clotted cream on top and then hari bol. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the point is there. So why have you picked that? Yes. Means in going through all these different things, then you said, and then we jump to the Supreme Lord and His happiness. But actually, why do we want the money? Because it makes us happy, right? Why, and then we spend the money, you know, on facilities because that makes us happy. Okay, now those facilities are for others, but making others happy, you know, in that environment is what makes us, you know, they're saying that's the whole point. Does that make sense? So, in devotional service means I'm performing my duties, which includes all those things, to please the Lord. So the result of that is the Lord's pleasure because I'm following according to the direction. So that means that when you perform an action, it gives a result that is equal to the effort put in. Right? So that's a physical, or it's whatever platform it's performed on, you get the result in that. Physical, mental, or you know, intellectual, sensual, these platforms, you put in the effort there, that's where you get your result. Right? So now, that's the physical result, but what's the result for? happiness. Now the point is it ours or is it the Lord's? That makes a difference between material and devotional. Right? So now we, or yes, so then trying to get from doing it for us to doing it for the Lord, then there's the aspect of naishkarmya. So we're doing it not for ourselves, but it may not be for the Lord either. So someone like Durvasa Muni, he'll be in that position. He's performing naishkarmya, he's very renounced, but he's not doing anything necessarily for himself, but he's not doing anything to the Lord either.
For whom then? Then for whom he's doing that?
I mean, ultimately for himself, but I'm saying it's not on the platform of karma, which we were describing here. So that will bring you to, yeah, so then brings it to gyan. Right? Does that make sense? So unless you're a devotee, you can't not be on the material platform. So that's the thing. The gyanis feel themselves so much superior, but the problem is they're still just materialistic. Right? They're doing the same results and getting nothing for it, and they consider themselves better. Right, you know, it's like the guy who goes down to work, goes, you know, does something, just like, he goes down to the place, there's the board meeting, he comes in, he gives his presentation, they appreciate his input and his advice, and then, his secretary gets a big fat check in the mail, right? Or the other person just goes in, does the same thing like that, walks out, gets nothing. Right? You would say, you know, what's going on here? Oh, just the happiness that, yes, I did something nice for them. Like that, you know. Better stick to old ladies going across the street, you know. I say the effort and the result are much more in proportion. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the thing. It's naishkarmya. You could say from the karmi's point of view, those in naishkarmya, then they're idiots. They're working doing the same work, getting nothing. But at the same time, is those in naishkarmya, they get nothing, but they also get no disturbance. While those in karma, they're getting the results, but they're also getting all the disturbance that comes along with it. Therefore, the karmis and then gyanis think they're better. Right? Does that make sense? But the point is only the devotee. So the point is there is a result or an experience above that. Right? Means there's an attitude in which we perform the activity. And there's knowledge and skills that are applied in the activity. So the knowledge and skills will give a result. But the attitude in which we have and are performing, that's why we're doing it. You understand? So they're two parallel things. Does that make sense? So when it's about pleasing the Lord only, then we'll find that's what Krishna is talking about. That's anyabhilashita shunya. That's the pure devotee. That person, because they're only doing it to please Krishna, therefore they're fully committed to him, he's fully committed back. But if we're doing it to please Krishna and ourselves, then that part that to please Krishna, the Krishna is reciprocating that on the devotional platform. But that part that's for ourselves, then Krishna deals with that in another way according to Krishna karma, what's going to be best for you to surrender to him. Does that make sense?
So, Maharaj, Durvasa Muni, he has attained the Paramatman realization. How can he get angry?
Why not?
Paramatman means he has his equal vision.
But that means he's not that. He's a great yogi, but not that great a yogi. Because the point is his yoginess is for what purpose? Means just go on from the previous conversation, right?
Yeah.
In other words, the same question is being asked. The previous question was asked from the position of karma. But we explained it in relation to gyan, but it was the main discussion was on karma, right? Now the same question is being asked, but from the perspective of gyan.
Yeah.
But the point is unless you're a devotee, you actually don't have all the good qualities, because the point is it's only there when you're focused on it in that aspect. But when it comes, because the whole point of the yoga is for yourself, therefore when it comes down to between something for yourself and getting in the way of that, then anger comes. Anger comes when after frustration. That's just the mechanics. So he's frustrated that he, as Durvasa Muni, isn't the supreme. You know, so that everybody is, you know, just so, you know, worried about him that, you know, they're willing to break all their vows and everything like this, you know, for him. And then he's generally quite kind, so, you know, you never know what would have happened there. But the point is since Ambarish was doing this for the Supreme Lord, and then here's a way that you can deal like that, and devotees being practical and all that, then other devotees would understand that. Because it's like you had to break your vow, but at the same time as being the host, then you didn't eat first. But by drinking water, it broke the fast. That way, then your vow is intact, and now you can do those. So you get both. You get the vow, and you get take the host. But he was saying, no, you leave your vow part. Your 1 year of that because of your respect for me. Then, and just take care of me as a host. Now, whether he would have reciprocated this and that, yes, maybe he'd give some boon and everything like that, but he can't reciprocate the aspect that's being done in devotion for the Lord. He doesn't even know about it. So since if he was just doing that as a karmakanda aspect of following Ekadasi for some benefit, then by doing that, then Durvasa would be pleased, he'll give him a benediction, you know, that will actually, you know, in other words, he'll give the benediction and the results of the activity. But the point is Ambarish was depending upon the Lord to give that, not Durvasa. So he was acting according to the devotional platform that basically anyone else that was elevated would not have been disturbed. But Durvasa, he is very advanced, but it is about himself. You understand? That's why I'm pointing out the difference. One depends on the Lord, and the other one doesn't depend upon the Lord. He depends upon himself. So that's why we have to see is some quality is there, but what's the quality for? Right? You know, somebody is, okay, somebody, let's say a position comes up, right? And two people want that position. So the one person in applying them, you know, in trying to get that position is, you know, obviously very emotional about it. You know, it's why he shouldn't get in this and that, and the other person this and that, and all those things. So you see he's more emotional. Right? Now, the other person then takes a very cool stance. Yes, these things are there, and yes, no, he's very qualified in this and that. He could probably do so many wonderful things with it, and so many best benefit would be there and all that, but I can offer this and that and all these different things. So if that's of interest to you, then hey, then I'm here. Right? Now, if you're looking for a top position, what do you want? Someone more cool, thoughtful, can accommodate all the things? Or no, just me. And if the other guy does it, then it's not going to be terrible. Somebody, right?
Yeah.
So, but why is he doing it? Simply to get the position. He doesn't care about the company and this and that. He cares that he gets the position because that position pays way more than what he's getting in the facility and then this and that and the prestige. Does that make sense? You know, it's like you have a card. And on the card you have, you know, five lines that have to explain exactly who you are, what you are, and everything like that. Right? You know, so yes, okay, if it's something. There's guys that have cards that only have their name on it. There's nothing on the card. You understand? So who's in a more prestigious position? Because the other guy, you know who he is. Right? You know, does he have to put Donald Trump, White House, you know, West Wing, you know, room, you know, 10, you know, like, no. It's just, you know, okay, he's the president. You know where to find him.
He doesn't need a card.
He doesn't even need a card. Just like that. Just tell by the hairdo. That's his card. You understand? So the whole point is it's just for themselves. So as far as materialism goes, they're both exactly the same. One seemingly manifests better qualities, and one doesn't. But in actuality, they're both just as materialistic. So we're making the mistake that the qualities themselves are a goal. Oh, how could they have that and get that? No, it's just a tool. It's presented that being equal is the goal. No, being equal is the tool. You understand? How does the Democrat get what he wants? Through the presentation of the goal of equality. But what does he want from it? It's not about equality, it's for him getting the position, him getting the control. You understand? So that's the whole point, is that is there, or freedom. The other side is Republican, is the freedom. Like that. Not equality, but freedom. Because with freedom, there's no restriction. With equality, it has to have so much restriction to make equality. Right? So that's the funny part, is you think that the liberal is more open, but actually they're the more restrictive. Right? The conservative is less restrictive, the liberal is more restrictive. You understand? So, but what's the purpose? Simply to get the position and control. So whichever ideal you use, they're simply tools to get something else. So the same point, devotional service, we're only using these good qualities to please Krishna. So that's why devotees talk, oh, being equal and all that as a goal, that's just a materialistic ruse. Because it has to be used to get to please Krishna. That's the point, is something that's a method is used as a goal. And so people get bewildered. Right? You know, it's like the, union leader, right? You know, unions?
Yeah.
So union leader says, no, we want, higher pay, equal pay, all this pay, so much pay. Right? And why is he doing it? It sounds great because the workers think, yes, we're all equal, we're all this, we're all great, and all this and that. But why is the union leader doing it? Because out of everybody's paycheck, he'll get paid. Is he just going down there and doing that pro bono. Some kind of bono. Right? You understand? He's doing it for his own profit. It's business. That's his business. His business is scamming money out of people who actually make the money. You understand? The union guy makes no money. He simply gets money from other people. So the businessman has to pay. He puts in the work, the businessman pays. You understand? So, but the whole point is it sounds great. But he's only doing it because he'll get paid. Now, whether these workers actually get more pay or not, does he really care? Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But the whole point is if he doesn't get money at the end of the day, why even do it? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the whole point, is that we present qualities as goals when they're not goals. They're simply they're techniques to get the goal. They're the attitude in which you are perform your activity. The goal is something else. Does that make sense? That's why then in language, then you have the subject and object, right? Now the object is actually who you're focusing. So in relationship, that's where the start and finish is. The goal's there. But the data is another object, another noun separate from the object. You understand? So you're getting a result, but the result is actually to please the object. But it's something separate. So the actual point is that personal. So it's personal with Krishna. Because as we meant, the union leader is personal, meaning him and his family, or him and his friends. That's why he's doing it. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that being able to split those two, then you can see it more clearly. In the spiritual world, you don't have to split those two. Because they're using the character, the qualities, those are all them. The former them, the activities them they perform are simply to serve Krishna. You don't have to make the distinction. But here, because whenever we start something, we're so conditioned that automatically we go into a particular mentality and we forget about Krishna. That's why we analyze things and break them down so that we can start to see the distinction between them. Right? Does that make sense? Because without that distinction, we can't tell where the flaw is. Does that make sense? Like here, we're saying, oh, he has this quality. It must be okay. Because the goal is there, so the qualities are the goal, so therefore he has that quality. Everything must, the whole process, you know, sambandhabhideya prayojana must be all right. But actually, those qualities we're talking about actually are part of sambandha, not prayojana. Right? And then with that, the sambandha, you apply that, the mentality and prajumna and the knowledge and skills in shankarshan, that's what's your abhideya. You understand? So there's two different, that's why we're saying there's two parallel lines there. Does that make sense? Yeah. And we don't necessarily catch this. Means the masculine catches the knowledge and skills line. The feminine catches the mood and experience line. Does that make sense? Like that. That's the whole. So they go together, but at the same time they're two distinct things. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that and so in this in context of other material living entities, and Durvasa is very elevated, but in context of the devotee, then he's not. That's why we see so many times it's been saying he's not that intelligent. So, yeah. Are we on another point?
Yeah.
Yes. You don't know. Another point in this verse is that attachment to... I was wondering how long it would take. Another point in this verse is that attachment to dharaghara putrapta. Home, wife, children, friendship, society, and love is not the way to achieve the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is attached to hearth and home for material pleasure cannot become a pure devotee. Right? You become a devotee, but not a pure devotee. Right? And so how, as we become unattached to this, that's then where that elevation is there. Right? So that aspect is there. It's not that we are not situated in that, but we're not attached to that. Then that's why the importance of duties, because as attachment goes, why would you continue unless you're doing your duties? Right? Because the duties will continue. So if the focus from the beginning is on performance of duties, then there'll be a consistency. You don't have to worry about that switch from one to the other. Now I'm doing it because I'm attached. I may be following the duties or not. But then with time, I have to switch to the duties. But then if I'm not attached, if the whole time I've been doing it not because of duties, but because of attachment, why would suddenly now I function in the mode of goodness, right? Mode of passion is not working out for me. Why would I suddenly switch to goodness? I'll just go to another passion, right? Does that make sense? So that's why the Vedic is you start with goodness. It may have the mix of passion and ignorance, but as that passion and ignorance start to wane and it's just goodness, the form of it will look exactly the same. So it's a much superior approach. You know, all this thing is, oh no, they're equal. There's no question of them being equal, right? Like that. So that's the point is that, therefore, the devotee situated there, he may have those attachments because he's doing it out of his duties and trying to give the results to Krishna. Then, with time, that devotion gives him knowledge and detachment. Then he will start to give up that attachment to there, and then. That where that attachment is given up, he fills that with Krishna. And so starting off 1%, you know, Krishna and 99%, you know, attachment, then it starts to go, you know, 2%, 3%, 10%, like this. It just keeps going. But by the external form, it looks exactly the same. That's the seamlessness, right? Because it's not a matter of boxes, so it's seamless. When you have boxes and that, there are seams. right? Because one box bumps into another box, and then you have this arrow that gets squashed in between, right? And crumpled arrows don't work out so good. So somebody gets poked. Yes.
So therefore, the danger of artificial renunciation is you're actually not thinking that the form is something different.
Yes. So then you give up this arrangement, and then because the attachment is there, you'll take up another arrangement. So that's the whole thing. You know, it's just like someone's... someone's into one sport, and then when he has problem with that, then he'll take up another sport. But the whole point of... But, you know, it's just somehow or another, one sport's considered less dangerous than another sport. But somehow or another, all the sports are a problem. Right? you know what I'm saying? So it's just you go from one to the next to the next. So that's the point. Or you go, you know, you don't, you know, this food, but that, you know, you went to this restaurant, wasn't any good, so you go to another restaurant. You just keep moving around like that. So that's the whole point. So unless we give, so if it's your duties to do that, then yes, then that will remain. Whether you're attached or not attached, you can perform the activity. Because one, you're getting either from the material aspect, the other, you're getting from the devotional. You know, so as it switches, then, because in other words, you're getting your full taste. You know, so 99%, you know, material, 1% spiritual. But as it goes, then you start to see in proportion that the spiritual taste is greater than material. So the more it goes, the quicker it goes. Because then it's more obvious the taste, the spiritual taste. So serving Krishna is a much greater taste than the material. Therefore, one is more eager to give up that material. And by that eagerness before, by that desire, then Krishna reciprocates and one is able to do it. Does that make sense? Okay.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.